Welcome to Equipped, a podcast by Connection Church. Today we're going to talk about the why for church planting. Specifically, what does a Connect group have to do with church planting? I'm joined by Chris Miller, Russ DeMott, and John Irvin.
Thanks.
Let's get Equipped. Men, how are we?
We're good. Got our coffee.
I see it. Straight from the Dominican or no? Slurping to the mic?
I think it's just a K-Pod from old Black Rifle Coffee. Oh, yeah.
Shout out Black Rifle. Future sponsorship of the
Connection Church podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure they're listening.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Many problems show up in life, but all of them are solved by a Black Rifle. All right, so today we're going to talk a little bit about church planting, and specifically, what does a Connect group have to do with church planting? And so we had an awesome Connect group leader retreat over the weekend. Rush, you did a great job. Chris, you made the space look really, really good. And so thank you all for taking time to put that together for our folks. I thought that was a very meaningful time. And then on Saturday, I was able to do a breakout on this exact topic, and I thought it would be a good conversation piece for us to bring to our folks today. And so everybody has a little bit of a different sort of experience with church planting. Church planting is what I really was trained up in ministry after being saved here at Connection Statesboro, and a lot of my like formation as a pastor came in church plants, from everything from 50, 60 people to a new one that had like seven people, to a brand new church plant that was from, you know, the core team phase on. And so there's a lot of the training that I received. John, you've been here since almost the very beginning, or how far back into this being a church plant have you?
Yeah, I mean, I started here in 2009. So that was, we started in the end of 2008 as a church, and didn't start Sunday mornings until I think February of 2009, and so I kind of came in pretty close to that beginning time, and so it was an interesting thing to be able to kind of see things from really what does it look like at the start of a plant. And so I honestly, like, when I started coming, I wasn't even thinking, oh, this is a church plant, and this is, it was just right. Like, oh, somebody's starting a church, and like I didn't even think about it in the same way that I probably think about it today. It was just more like, I'm going to this church that I know some people at that God seems to be doing something in, and so it's interesting to now be kind of in it and knowing kind of what all was happening behind the scenes, what was needed behind the scenes. And so,
but you had already been in a relationship with Brandon in some capacity.
Yeah, no, I met him when he was a student pastor and had kind of done some ministry with him, but that was a college student when I was doing that. And, I just remember when we were starting, Brandon would just talk about, you know, just saying, he said, I'm sure there's books out there on how this is supposed to be done, but but we're just going to figure this out. And so it, in some ways, we kind of use that as a badge of honor. I don't know if that was a good thing all the time, but I do think it, what was good about it is, I mean, it forced us just to listen to God and to do what he said. And so like that was what guided us. It wasn't at times always a perfect formula. And so I think in some ways, we figured out some of those things, and I think those things that we figured out have been good, but we also fight that tension of going. But at the end of the day, like, there isn't a perfect formula because every church is different. Every community is different, and you've got to recognize that. And I think we even learned that throughout this process, is sometimes we try to probably control things too much and realize that sometimes there's certain things that don't always translate to another community. The core things do, and that's what I think has become really clear, but that was a learning experience of sometimes we have to realize that we can't put our hands on it, you know, completely. Right. We have to just let the Lord do what he's going to do.
There's some good points in there for Connect group too.
Absolutely.
I mean, and that's the bigger point that I was making at the breakout, which is that Connect group is just a microcosm of a church plant, and that's the best place for us to hunt down and find future church planters is in the confines of a Connect group. And so that's a lot of what a Connect group has to do with a church plant, and I knew John would have good insight on that. Russ started coming to Connection in the teens.
2012, 2013. Yeah.
And so he was here more so when this wasn't so much a church plant, but you had experience of seeing a church plant in your hometown back in Colquitt, correct?
Yeah, the church that I grew up my early days at First Baptist Church of Moultrie, but then there was a handful of people in our community that planted a church called Heritage Church that's very similar to Connection in style, and my mom and dad were kind of a part of, not necessarily maybe the core team, but they were some of the first people that were there on the kind of the rest of the congregation, if you will,
right,
of people who were bought into that. And so that's really the church that I grew up in was a church plant, again, called Heritage Church. But I also got to experience the planting of Vidalia from here.
As a member here.
Correct.
Yeah.
Case and I were really close with Billy and Kate. They actually did our premarital counseling, and Billy did our wedding, along with Michael Page. And so I really got to experience through just relationship with them, for Billy going to plant Vidalia and then for Michael going to plant Connection Savannah, which is now Connection Rinkin, but I think it started as Connection Pooler, then it went to Savannah. But anyways, just being able to be in relationship with them to hear some of the stuff that they went through, and also just seeing how those two church plants have come up and have really grown, and the Lord really blessed both of those places.
That's right. From like a member, I think that's an important perspective of like, because one of my concerns is that church planting would just be decisions and chess pieces that we're moving behind the scenes, and that our people are sitting in the crowd just like, oh, cool. And that is the worst thing we could do with church planting, is it should be the joy that all of our body gets to experience. Mm-hmm. And so, and then Chris, I think of a valuable perspective of that, to my knowledge, you haven't been here during the time that we've planted a church or that we've sent anyone out. You've been, around me, and I talk about church planting a lot, and Brandon is a church planter, I think it's a valuable perspective of having to begin to believe in this as a ministry strategy when it's just a concept and it's not a thing you've experienced. And am I wrong about that?
No, I think you're exactly right about that. I have not been part of a church plant at all. Every church that I've attended since I was a child had been an established church, just like Connection Church. I didn't start coming until 2018, 2019, something like that. And so it was already established and running well when I got here. But I have been able to watch, leaders being raised up, getting prepared to get sent out, and, watching Oconee, the preparation and all of that, and what goes into the assessment process, and learning what their core values are and what makes them tick and why they want to plant a church, and the guidelines behind, what all that entails has been really eye-opening for me, as far as for my aspirations. Like, I see how much work I still need to do to get prepared for whatever God has for me in the future. Yeah. And so I guess I do have a kind of interesting perspective on that. Yeah. But being able to see... I tell this to everybody I talk to. The thing that I love about Connection Church and the most is there's no masks. Mm. Like, what you see on Sunday morning might not be the best presentation of the week. Mm. Like, we don't polish this thing up throughout the week and then give everybody this highly polished fake thing on Sunday morning. What they see on Sunday morning is what you get throughout the week, and that's what I love about the people here. Jordan, John, Russ, Brandon, everybody. What you see on Sunday morning is the same people that you'll see Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And what I've noticed
For
better or for worse. And some days it is better and some days it is worse. But there's a beautiful thing behind that of transparency of like, where nobody is trying to put forward something that isn't real. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the reason why Connection Church was successful.
Mm. And yeah, for sure. And that's, it makes it an easier thing to multiply.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that with every other one of the network churches that I've been to.
Yeah.
All the pastors, all the staff, it's all the same. Everybody they're real, they're genuine. We all have bad days, we all have good days, but God works that all together and makes a beautiful thing out of it.
Wow. And I think that's encouraging, and I'm glad you're in here. I wish Q could be in here, too. He's just working so hard to get so many people baptized and through Heart and Soul. I mean, it's just kind of obnoxious when you think about it. But I wish, because I know he has aspiration, Russ has aspiration, Chris has aspiration. I know it's near and dear to my heart, and I have aspiration as well, or certainly live in an open-handed way of, like, whatever God wants to do. Mm-hmm. I know we all feel sort of that way, and so on the aspiring end, on the experience end, on the conceptual end, on the practical end, and just bring all of that perspective with you as we kind of talk through this, because my goal when we did this breakout on Saturday is the same today, is that everybody that listens to this would leave with 100% clarity about the role of church planting as a church's strategy, the strategic nature of, like, why is church planting important? And where does it fit in the overall philosophy of ministry? And, like, for us specifically as Connection Church, like, how does it fit strategically? And then the secondary goal of that in having clarity about it is that you'd be a raving fan for it. And so I want our people, not just like us as staff, but our people, our Connect Group leaders especially, but our Connect Group members and Heart and Soul people as well, to be like, church planting is amazing, and this is one of the ways that we bring the maximum amount of glory to God is by planting more churches, and to do that we have to raise up more leaders, and so that's where I want to get to. So let's start with some scripture. We're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. We'll look at both of those. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So that is a direct exhortation from Paul to Timothy, that this needs to be an in pen essential to your job description as the pastor there in Ephesus, Timothy. You need to take time and commit time to entrust to faithful men what you have heard, what he heard Paul teach, and this is where. This is where the Connect Group leader part of it comes in. It is my job as a pastor. It's our job as staff. It's our job as pastors to handle the committing or the entrusting. I think the ESV uses the word entrust. It's our job to handle the entrusting process. But the evidence of faithfulness begins in the presence of many witnesses. And so when we think about where does a future church planter and a pastor emerge from, they emerge from the presence of many witnesses. And we'll talk about that more in 1 Timothy chapter 3. But I'm going to say that I have this in my notes for later, but I want to go ahead and say it now. When we were talking about this on Saturday, somebody asked, like, when does a person go plant? When does this—I think she asked the question, when does this happen? And it kind of took me a second. I was like, you mean, like, when does residency start? Or, like, when does a person—you know, which portion of it? And she was just like, when does a person, like— the question was in the nature of, how do you know when someone's— like, how do you identify that person, basically? Like, when do you know, what are you looking for? And my encouragement to her, one of the things I feel like the Lord showed me in it is, every advancement of the kingdom started as a new convert.
Mm-hmm.
Every person that's ever advanced the kingdom of God started as a lost person. And so for our Connect Group leaders, the next church planter could be a lost person in our congregation now. Maybe not the next one, but one of the 50. Or it could be a person that is a new convert in your Connect Group right now. And they are in the stage of the presence of many witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
When I when you read that passage, so I went to a different breakout over the weekend, and it was actually with one of our current church planters who also was a international missionary for a season, and he was talking a lot about what you just said, of what kind of that question of, like, how did that happen? And from his vantage point, it was actually much more talking about, like, it was other people speaking that into his life, other people kind of actually pulling him a little bit and saying, hey, I think you need to consider this. Now, what that, like you said, from the beginning, it wasn't you need to be a church planner. It was that, like, first, hey, maybe God's calling you to just come to church or come to a small group. Maybe it's he's leading you. Consider that. And then it was consider leading a group, consider coming on staff. Like, it was the witnesses were the ones that were helping pull some of that out. And so now sometimes somebody can just have that deep down burden, like, I know God's called me to do this. And I think other times it can be, sometimes it's the witnesses that help pull some of that out. And so hopefully that was in a different direction than what you were thinking.
No, that's perfect.
That's another way that it plays out, is sometimes it's, and then it's finally, usually when somebody is speaking that into you, usually our tendency is to say, oh, no, mm-hmm. that's not me. Our insecurity begins to come out. And then finally, like, somebody says that enough, and you're like, all right, well, I guess that's true. I mean, that was even my story of, there was people that kept on saying, oh, yeah, you're a pastor. And I'm like, I'm telling you, I'm not. And I was pretty adamant about it, and until I kind of had to go, like, and I still struggle with that, but, like, all right, well, maybe God is doing something. And so, again, that was just
I think God's used you, John.
Yeah,
I think
just a couple of times.
Yeah, I think maybe I think you're going to make it.
We'll see. There's still time.
I would say, to kind of add on that, in that breakout, Bo said something, and that John also said in his sermon yesterday, but I think it starts when you place your yes on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I have even looked back in my life and have realized, and to what Bo and John said, is that I never knew that was like a box that I could check of, like, what my future was going to look like. Like, I had been given, like, here's the things that you can go do with your life. You can go to college. You can go to play baseball. Like, here's what you can do with your life. But nobody ever gave me, like, hey, you could go be a part of church planting. Mm. Hey, you could go be a staff member on a church. Hey, you could go be an international missionary. And so it wasn't that I was, like, against those things. It was just I was never given, like, that lane to run in as, like, a vision to say, hey, here's something else you can check as a box for, like, what you're going to do with your life. And I think helping our people understand that, like, these are all things that you can do. Mm-hmm. And when you put your yes on the table, that's when things begin to start of, you know, people training you, people pointing out things in you, you beginning to grow. And I just thought that was interesting. Yeah. I never thought about it in that way of, like, why do people not do this? For some people, it's just they've never been told that they could.
That's awesome.
You can.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can.
Yeah.
I love that part of the breakout when he said that. Sorry. Something else, that John, that you said about maybe God's calling you to more. And I've experienced this very same thing. God's called me to more, but I had no idea what he was calling me to.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had to throw my hands up and I said, all right, God, whatever, whenever, however, lead me to what you have me to do. So maybe somebody here is listening, but you feel like God's calling you to more, but you don't necessarily think that he's calling you to church planting, or you don't think he's calling you to mission work, but just be open-handed with what he is calling you to do and let him guide you into what he has for you.
Let me talk about a few things real quick. On that specific point, I can say with clear black and white biblical text that each Christ follower's responsibility is to make a difference in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
That's Matthew 6:33. That's Matthew 28:19-20. Like, that's the Acts 1:8. All of those are clear. Your responsibility, empowered by the Holy Spirit upon salvation and walking in obedience to the salvation that Christ so freely gave us, is to make a difference in expanding the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And now that can look like lots of different things.
Yeah.
What I'm making the case for, is to the point that Russ and Chris just made, is strategically being a part of planting a church is, I think, it's my favorite, and it's the part of our, it's a core part of our strategy as a church. And so the connect, equip, and send processes are to help achieve a sending strategy. And so our sending strategy is that we want to raise up the level of leader that could go out and plant a church, mm-hmm. move to it, and go participate in the mission of God. Now, what a little bit of what I'm trying to be extremely clear about is that I'm talking about strategy, and strategy is open-handed. Mm-hmm. Other churches have other strategy. Other churches have other processes because they have other strategy. But I am trying to be clear. This is our strategy as a church. We want to be a leadership development factory, mm-hmm. and we want to raise up leaders that can go and expand the kingdom through engaging unreached people groups mm-hmm. and planting churches in our region. That's our strategy. Some people, like, here's Passion, for example. When they plant regional campuses and they have planted a church in another city, so they're in Atlanta and D.C., that's their strategy, and that's totally fine. You know, Church of 1122 starts regional campuses. I'm sure they send some other folks out to plant churches. They do a ton of sending missionaries all over the place, which is great. Church of the Highlands, one of the top three biggest churches in North America, and they start campuses all over the place. That's just not our strategy. Mm-hmm. Our strategy is to raise up a new leader to go and plant a fresh expression of the gospel in different communities, and that's what we do.
In different communities that oftentimes don't have something like this. That's correct. Been one of the things that we've always been. It's in some ways, there's been times where we're like, why are we going there? Wouldn't it mm-hmm. be more strategic to go somewhere yeah. else? But we actually know it is strategic, and this is the specific place that we're going to go because there isn't something like this here now.
Yeah. So. And even a college student over the weekend was like, when are y'all going to plant in Kennesaw? When are y'all going to plant in Atlanta? It's like, well, we don't – that some of it is that is such a leap from our current progress. If God raised up the right person and the right situation, and the big part is when you're jumping such a – in our strategy, you're jumping such a – this is getting a little too much into the weeds from what I wanted to do today, but this is what me and Billy and sit around and talk about. And when you're jumping that big of a geographical, you know, sort of span, it kind of leaves them out there by themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's something that Athens experienced that was really tough, and that's been a trial through fire. And now it's getting to be really good. Mm-hmm. Now they're planting Oconee, and now there's a lot there. But anyway, so that's the nature of the strategy. Now, how does this relate to a connect group? I would encourage every connect group leader to adopt a new ministry. You ready? This is what it is. I want every connect group leader to have a new ministry tool in your tool belt. Here it is. It's very simple. I want you to equip yourself to have an ICNU conversation. That's it. Just when you see, and I want to spell out what you're looking for, but Danny Williams was my high school, college. He paid for me to go to seminary after I got saved, and I knew I was going to go to seminary. He paid for it, and he has just been a lifelong sort of mentor of mine. And one of the biggest things that he ever spoke over me is says, you need to believe in people so that they can one day believe for themselves. Mm. You need to believe in people so much that you can believe in them until they believe in themselves. Mm. Or believe on God for mm-hmm. people until they can believe for themselves.
Yeah.
And that's something that, like, I have tried to incorporate into ministry, of having those I see in you conversations of, like, speaking life over people and speaking potential over people. You know, some of my background and experience, and I could just be wrong about this, but I don't think I am. But one of the things that was often said in church planting circles, in sort of the places that I've worked in the past, they would say, a guy either has it or he doesn't. And they would say, like, you know, a church planter is just like, they're, you're either born a church planter or you're not. And I hated that. I thought that I wanted to believe it. If somebody said to me, I think I want to plant a church, like I see the vision for it, I would rather just be honest about the nature and need of the development, and I'll leave it in God's hands of, like, if he's put that in a person's heart, then I'm going to speak life into them, and, but also give them honesty of, like, where I think they're deficient or where I think they need to grow or, you know, but I don't ever want to, like, I just think the net, and this is why, because the need is too great.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Now, they may not can go and be a celebrity church planter in Atlanta, or they may not be able to go and plant a 20,000-person church in Austin, Texas, but could they go and plant a 250-person church in wherever, in, I don't know, Waynesboro, Georgia, and that be something that honors and glorifies the Lord, and then they have a community of other planters to, like, do life with? Mm-hmm. That feels like success to me.
Yeah, that's right.
And so every Connect Group leader, that person that could go and do that, though, like, that starts, it could start, and it did for me. Like, it started when Billy was a Connect Group leader that just had an I see in you conversation. Brandon that had an, like, I believe in you, I think you could do this type conversation.
Mm-hmm. And I want to say this for our Connect Group leaders that would be having the I see in you conversation, or a Connect Group member that is on the receiving end of an I see in you conversation. For you, Jordan, for you, John, you just said this a few minutes ago, but even for me in my own life, it took a lot of those conversations. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like the first time somebody said that I was like, you know what, I think you're right. It was like, no, there's no way. Mm-hmm. And then a little bit of time passed, and there's another conversation, and I'm like, yeah, I'm still not seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately enough, I've had people that have had those conversations with me over the last 10 years.
Right.
And here I am today, and mm-hmm. I can look back now and see, like, they saw something in me that I just couldn't see in myself, and mm-hmm. they just weren't willing to give up on that.
Yeah, Dr. Gatto did that to me. Mm. He's like, Chris, you need to be a Connect Group leader. I said, Dr. Gatto, I do not need to be a Connect Group leader. Sir. Yes, you do. No, I don't. And we had that conversation multiple times, and finally he was like, you're going to be a Connect Group leader. And I'm like, no, I do not want to be a Connect Group leader.
Here you are.
Which is a huge – that's. I'm so glad you said that, Chris, because that's a huge point. It can be an I see in you conversation of, like, you need to be heart and soul.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
I see in you the type of person that is the type of person that's heart and soul here at our church, and I want you to be part of my family.
Yes.
Amen.
You know, I see in you the type of person that could lead a Connect Group. Would you just come sit next to me and just pray about it? And mm-hmm. in that, you know, it's funny, Clint was discipled by Danny. I was also discipled by Danny. Then I was also discipled by Clint. And Clint's my mentor that died in a plane crash. And he, in his How to Start a Residency book, he's written 3 books on church planting. And in each of them, he would say, this is how you have, and I see a new conversation. He would say, I think God could use you to plant a church, and I will help you get there if God puts that on your heart. And they're, immediately their answer is always, no, I can't. Thanks for the offer. And he says, gotcha. Well, how's your family? And they just move on with the conversation. But he knows he's planted a seed that God will grow. And he just gives it time. And he doesn't mm-hmm. necessarily bring it back up. He just is like, I'm going to, and then eventually he says, over a period of time, there's so many of people that have come back to him and been like, you know, I've really been thinking and praying. And I feel like what you encouraged in me like 6 months ago, God is like, won't let it go. And that's how an ICU seed grows into something that
that's awesome.
Is eventually a church plant, pun intended.
I think for us at Connection Church too, that's how Connect Groups are multiplied.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is I see in you conversations with members, and as they grow, giving them opportunities to hey, I think, why don't you lead this week? Why don't you lead Connect Group this week and just see how it goes, but continuing to have that conversation, and to your point, Jordan, planting those seeds and letting God work in that, and then next thing you know, now somebody has raised their hand and said, hey, I've really been praying, and I feel like the Lord's has, you know, is telling me my next step is that I need to multiply out as a Connect Group leader.
So what are we looking for? If we're going to have an I see in you, what do you see? What should you be seeing in order to have that conversation? What you're looking for is a person of faith, F-A-I-T-H, faith. This is what you're looking for. If you go back to 2 Timothy 2:2, in the presence of many witnesses, you're looking for a person of faith, faithful, available, intentional, teachable, and I put humble but hungry. I think both of those H's apply. humble but hungry. So faithful, let me just talk through these. When I say faithful, what I mean is consistent with a true heart, meaning their desires and their hope for the group is in alignment with the group's purpose. In other words, they're not trying to take Connect Group and make it their John MacArthur Bible study. Mm-hmm. They're not taking Connect Group and trying to turn it into a personal counseling session. They're not taking Connect Group and trying to make it their substitution for loneliness because they don't have any friends, right? Like there are going to be people that do all three of those things, and it's our job as Connect Group leaders to lead them through that. But the person who could multiply is a person who shows up consistent with a true heart for what the group is. Mm. Somebody who's available, meaning they have made space for the group in their life. This isn't the person that comes once a month. This isn't the person that is going to consistently have ball on the night of group, or they're going to have prior, like they're going to, it's not the person that's going to find any reason to not be at group. It's a person that's made space in their life because what it shows is they understand how important it is. Somebody who's intentional, meaning that they show up with what's required for a group. They show up with a Bible, with a notebook. They've spent time with God that week. Mm-hmm. God is showing them things from the preaching of God's word. They ask you questions. They're texting you. They're interested in the things of the Lord. They're just intentional with their following of Jesus. They're teachable. They're willing to adjust their life to reveal truth. We're not asking for perfection. Just when the Holy Spirit points something out as true in His Word, in the preaching, in the conversation, when the Holy Spirit illuminates sin in their life, they're like, you know what, I need to adjust to that. They're not justifying their sin. It doesn't mean they get it right every single time, just that like, hey, you're right. Thank you for showing me like the path back to God's design. Anyway, mm-hmm. Teachable. Probably the easiest one to see, whether a person is or not. But then humble but hungry. What I mean is you're looking for somebody who has an overall attitude of a learner. They're appreciative of your investment, but they're persistent in you taking them further. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes a humble person can get overlooked as insecure or nervous or just shy when really they're humble. A arrogant and proud person can often get mistaken as a hungry person that just has aspiration. But you're looking for somebody who's humble but also hungry. A lot of times, quiet people in your group are humble but hungry people. They just don't feel feel the need to be heard. They appreciate how you lead group. They want to go further. You know, and so a conversation of speaking life into them can go a long way. But anyway, you're looking for a person of faith. And if you see that, have an I see in you conversation. Hey, I think God could use you to lead a Connect Group. Come and have conversations with us on staff. Like, hey, so-and-so in my group, I really think God could use them to plant a church. Would you, like, look into this with me? And so those are great. That would be a great ministry tool to add to your tool belt, is the I see in you conversation. Any thoughts? Go ahead.
I'm just going to agree with you. I just think that's such a powerful but such a simple thing. Yeah. We're not asking you to have some grand theology or like this is just something that you can do just so naturally in relationship with people.
Right. Do you think there's times we have to take it a step? We have to kind of take a step back if we kind of see some of these things, but there's some that are lacking, and we might need to just first call them into something to round out whether they are, if you know, a person of faith, as we said at times.
Yeah, I'm like a 63% kind of guy. Like if I see like 63% of these attributes, because I know I'm not asking them to jump from there to church planner. I'm just saying, hey, why don't you? Would you be willing to lead group? It's our anniversary, or you know, I got a kid's birthday, or I'm gonna let them lead, and I still be there. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna let them lead, and I'm not gonna be there. I'm gonna, you know, just give them different opportunities and just see what's produced by that next step. That's a good question. Like I don't think you're not looking, you know, some of these attributes, and I don't know exactly how to measure it. Some of it's just so instinctual for me, but I mean, teachable is probably the one that I don't want to fudge on.
Right.
You know, like I if a person's not humble, if they're not teachable. Yeah, I understand if like they're trying to, if they're in a season where they have a newborn or like mm-hmm. there's reasons why they may not be as available or may not be as intentional. Right. They may be new to the faith and not know like, hey, maybe I should show up with a Bible from, you know, those types of things. But if they just, you know, there's just an overall hunger and they're humble and they're teachable, then I'm willing to take a risk on people in that in that regard. What about for y'all? Any thoughts on that?
I agree with you. I think that some of those, I like that 63% thing that you said, because if they have more than they're lacking, then over a period of time, those other things can come into existence.
Right.
The faithfulness, the availability, the intentionality. As you grow in your relationship with the Lord, naturally your intentionality is going to automatically increase. So I just agree with you on all of that.
Yeah.
And like you said earlier, of like even like with Clint's book, is what these conversations are doing, they're planting a seed. It's like, I mean, it's very rarely is that you have one of these conversations and the person's like, yeah, absolutely, let's do it. Like it's usually there is at this time period where if any of these things are lacking, it's almost going to force the person to have to kind of like go, oh, maybe I need to take this more serious. Maybe I do need to make myself more available. Maybe I do need to be more intentional or whatever it might be. And so, you know, we've got to give the space to let the seed grow.
That's right.
It's not all on us to see all these things completely filled out. Like we're not responsible for that. We're responsible for planting it and then letting the Lord begin to fill in any, you know, holes.
Right. All right, let's look at 1 Timothy 3:1-7. This is, you know, the preeminent verse on like what you're looking for. The qualifications for what a pastor should be. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? All I want you to notice there is notice the character.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same, really, in other places. A lot of it's the same fruits of the Spirit. It's the same basic qualifications for being a Christian, right? And so these are all good attributes. And really, in the Connect Group Leader application, this is listed out as like, are you this level of character is what we're looking for, even in a Connect Group leader. So just notice the character. Verse 6, he must not be a recent convert or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Listen to this. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. What I want you to notice is that the pastoral traits emerge from the body. The pastoral traits emerge from the body of Christ, from within the presence of many witnesses. Now, if we're bringing in 2 Timothy type language, but really the only difference is the aspiration, right? The ability to teach and the aspiration. The text paints a picture of internal drive mixed with moral scrutiny, meaning that they pass a certain standard of character, and I think some longevity with that, that it's not new. It's not a display or a show. It's like a proven sense of character. But they have some drive, an aspiration to do the work But it's really it's observed in community. This is something that people are like, oh, I could see him being a pastor. I could see him being a church planter. And a lot of that is also true of connect group leaders. Oh, yeah, I could see him being a connect group leader. Mm-hmm. I could see her being a connect group leader. It's communal observation, the presence of many witnesses. And so entrusting, I'm thinking of Ephesians 4, verse 12, entrusting is the joy and job of the pastor, but the discipleship and beginnings of maturity happens in the body. This is why this is church planting is so directly connected to connect groups, is because that's our vehicle for community and a pathway to maturity. It's where it happens in a group. And so I kind of want to put a sense of heaviness on our connect group leaders of like, yeah, one of our next church planters could be in your connect group right now. And you need to shepherd them as people and vessels of potential. See them as potential that God has placed in them, and we just don't know what's going to come out of them. And now they're not failing if they don't become a church planter. They could become a church planting core team member. If whenever God is going to do a new work somewhere, they could be valuable and vital parts of that.
And that might be their next step.
Correct.
In the process.
Right.
The next step in the process might not be from connect group leader to church planter, but it might be core team member on the next church plant and get prepared for the church plant.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Okay. Any thoughts on that?
What is the, like, say, let's just play this out for a second. I know we don't have much time, but somebody in a connect group, we identify, we have the ICNU conversation, they begin to take next steps of the aspiration. They are a person of faith. They have all these things. We've now given them an opportunity to lead, and they've done that well. Like, you know, they're just a stud. And like, but how do we, again, narrow that gap from now we have a connect group leader that has handled every next step that we've given them with faith, and how do we now narrow the gap from where do they go to be able to be sent as the next church plant of insert town? And yeah. I think about like Jamie. I talked to Jamie on the phone yesterday for a little while and just was catching up with him, asking him how things were going. And, man, he's so excited about how God's already working in Oconee. And they're fixing to launch their first Sunday's January the 11th. And I was thinking about just God's faithfulness in that of – me and Jamie was in my first connect group that I ever got in college. And, like, to now see where he's gone from there, you know, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, to now he's about to plant a church in Oconee County.
Isn't that cool?
And it is really, really cool. But, like, you know, play out, you know, some of that journey. And I know for him it was he's been in Athens. He went on staff. But for anybody that's listening that is beginning to feel maybe an aspiration, like, what do I do? What steps do I begin to take?
Well, Jamie specifically is a cool part of it because he never thought he would go on staff. He worked for Coca-Cola. He had a normal job. And he just served Connection Athens as an elder. And so he came alongside Dustin. And then he came alongside Liam as just an elder, which is just an elder. Like, he was a really high-quality
for sure.
Man of character and competency, but just like, I'm going to work at Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he had some step in between one of them being a lay elder and then coming on staff. And then through that, I don't think necessarily was like, I don't know if when he was brought on staff, if he was like, I'm doing this in order to become a church planter, or if it was just more, I really feel a burden for gospel ministry and just cared about yada, yada, yada. So to answer your question for here, this is when you say they've done every next step, we would need to define what are those next steps. One of them would be not have you just led the group that you're in, but have you led it to multiply?
Yeah, that's right.
Have you been able to raise up another connect group leader within your group? In other words, this vision for multiplication and kingdom advancement, is it so interwoven into who you are that it's part of the fruit of your life? And do people want to follow you? And it's a great question to ask. I had to ask this early on as a pastor of like, if the evidence of leadership is that people want to follow you, if nobody's following you, you're not a leader. And so are people dancing to the tune of the song that you're singing? You know, are people picking up what you're putting down as far as are you multiplying your group? Then from there, a next step would be being a Connect Group leader coach. Can you lead other leaders? And do they feel shepherded, cared for, invested? Are they growing? And so then between that, being a coach would be either a potential staff person, or we're already beginning to identify, like, okay, you have a burden for going out. Now we would bring you into a residency. We have another leadership development environment kind of mixed in there too, that would be available. But after that would be residency. And so then there's the application, then there's the assessment, and that would give us something to look at of how do we need to invest in this future leader, their marriage, their preaching ability, their leadership ability, their visionary skill, their ability to disciple and understand the Great Commission, how to live that out within a connection church as a specific type of church. That's where residency would flesh a lot of that out. And residency is between 9 months to a year. And then you would be sent out to plant. Then we would have the launch phase. And before you know it, you're on the Connect Group Leader Retreat. I mean, the Church Planner Retreat.
Yeah, so that's awesome.
That's the real that's the real thing at the end of the rainbow.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway, so yeah, residency. So all of these are part of our sending strategy as a whole of Connect Group Leader coaching, leadership development specifically, outside of residency, and then the residency that would be something that you would, I think we haven't had to do this in a long time, but something that we would potentially let a person stay in their job. They would just be understanding, like, my life is moving in the direction of being full-time in ministry, or a season of time where they're on staff for the portion of their residency, which the network pays half of for the planters. Salary, and then the sending church would pay the other half. So maybe that's a helpful thing just for folks to know, is that we are part of a family of churches called the Connection Network, and all of us pool together 5% of all of our giving for these things, for the advancement of the kingdom. And so our church planters are sent out well with strong financial backing and ongoing care and coaching and support, and then you're just brought into a brotherhood of guys to belong to that are walking alongside you, and you have people to call on that are also in year one or two that are close to your experience, and others that are 10 years down the road, and you get some hindsight wisdom kind of mixed in there.
Yeah, I also want to just say that I think, like, sometimes we can look at all of this and just want to have everything fit in different boxes and everything fit in a perfect step one, step two, step three, step four. And I think it's important to realize that in all of this, sometimes there's seasons that, like, you just need to sit in that season for a while where you are maturing, you are growing. And I think, I know I find myself even doing this, like, you look at somebody like the Apostle Paul, and it's like you see him doing all these things, but, like, even knowing from the having his kind of Damascus Road experience to him being kind of in full-time ministry, like, that wasn't just like you might turn the page in your Bible, but there's years of things that are taking place there. And so there might be times that, like, our leaders, like, they are continually faithfully leading groups, and all the while there are other things that are happening. And it's not, we might not be able to perfectly put on paper, oh, they went through X, Y, and Z, but, like, all of those things, all those experiences they're going through, that's all playing a factor. So I think just reminding ourselves that some of this development is intangible, and we got to recognize that you know, that and that can only happen over time. Like, we can't rush that process, because some of it is just the Lord refining us. And
people can fake their way through a process.
Yo, absolutely.
If I just know what boxes need to be checked, I can check the boxes.
That's right.
Right.
And sometimes, as a shepherd pastor observing that, we can see right through that. And so sometimes there's times that they might be going, hey, I did all the things. We're like, yeah, we know.
Yeah.
And and we're okay with the fact that they're going to have to sit in the fact that that they're going to have to wait. And sometimes that is revealing, is, are they willing to wait? And sometimes
pride can can push a person to check boxes that God was never asking them to check, right? Mm-hmm. Just like it can cloud the aspiration and the assignment that God has given a person. And there's, you know, that's why a lot of the humble person that's also hungry, that you shoulder tap, I feel a lot of comfort in that, of like, I
just love the humble person that has aspirations, that says, I can never do this, I can never do this, I can never do this.
But if God asks me.
Because then what they're relying on is, I can never do this, but God can do this through me.
That's right.
And that is the beauty in it. It's like, now God has done something in me that I could have never done on my own, and sometimes am still scared to do on my, like, even in stepping into that role, there's still things where I feel like I'm so underqualified to be doing what I'm doing, but God can do it through me.
That's right. That's right. So I want to leave you sort of with this truth. Our opportunity to plant churches rises and falls on each of our churches raising up future leaders and being willing to send them away to advance the kingdom. That's every network meeting that me and Billy and our other pastors and planters have, when we talk about, like, what is objective one, like, the most important thing is each of our ministry areas and in each of our churches becoming a leadership development factory. Like, our ability to plant churches rises and falls on that right there. And so that's why it's important within our connect groups that we see it as the essential place for leadership development to take place, that future leaders are called out and raised up. And I'm going to just provide as much clarity and of how to do that and why to do that as we can, and just know that that's what we want. We desire for the Lord to raise up leaders. Just in closing, do you guys have sort of a moment just maybe to share? You remember when somebody had an I see in you conversation? When somebody called that out in you?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I had numerous of those, and the person that had the most of those conversations with me was Michael Page.
Mm-hmm.
And for so long, I would just laugh it off. Mm-hmm. And I can remember the very first time he told me, like, hey, you're going to be in ministry and you're going to plant a church one day. And I'm like, you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's silly. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard. And I said this from stage a couple Sundays ago, but I can remember sitting in this church in a seat and feeling that, like, I don't know what it was, but I can just remember feeling this, like, thing in my spirit of, like, hey, I might be a pastor one day. And then I would just shake it off and think, everybody probably feels like that sitting in church on Sunday. Like, that's just normal. That's not anything like that I need to pay attention to. And now, after walking out my life for the last 12 years and looking back, I see God's work. To John's point of, like, I didn't see what was happening in the moment, but I see it now of, like, God just moving things around in my life to get me to where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thankful for people like Michael that have just continued to speak into my life and have never pushed, have never been aggressive, but have just continued to plant seeds,
right,
and continued to be there and speak life into me and speak life over me. And so for me, like, that is the person that is that I just know, like, they have always believed this in me and believed this for me, even when I didn't believe it for myself.
You rejected me one time, too, so.
Me, too. Yeah.
I mean, I rejected all y'all for working at the church, so. But again, none of y'all gave up on me, and so here we are.
We can always. I'm just kidding.
I mean, even thinking about what I said at the start of this podcast of, like, when people would say that about me of being a pastor, and I remember one of those actually happened on a mission trip, and it was actually somebody I didn't know, but it was the pastor in the place that we were at, and I think I was a college student at this point, and I was trying to do the devotion, and I was attempting to do the devotion in Spanish myself, and I'm sure it was a disaster, but, like, I remember afterwards he said something to me about it, and he's, like, basically said that very thing, and I was like, what are you talking about? But, like, it was a... like, I still think about it. I still think about him kind of just taking that moment and speaking. Like, he saw something in me and didn't even know me. Like, and so, and then even a Facebook memory popped up the other day. It was a picture I had posted on Facebook. It was, like, me. It was back when I was doing students here. And it was just me on stage, like, sharing something. It was just a picture from an event. And one of my former youth leaders from high school, that's when I came to know the Lord, was in high school, and he just commented on the picture. He just said, like, epic or something like that, just being silly. And I just wrote back on the picture, you know, who would have thunk? And he said, many of us did. And wow. like, and it had even started back then, like things that they would speak over us. And so it's just a thing that, like, that, yeah, I mean, I think it's happened, you know, in multiple different ways, and is still probably needed now to remind myself of. So,
yeah.
Yeah, well, for me, it was Eric.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. And he did Jordan exactly like you said. I was in his Connect group for a long time, and then he's like, hey, Chris, would you like to lead Connect group next week? I'm like, nope, you're doing a fine job.
No, I would not.
And he said, I'd really like you to lead next week. And he pushed me in that direction. And gave me a little bit of confidence in being able to lead through a Connect group session, and he just pushed me for more. You know, he taught me how to pray. He taught me how to, you know, a lot. I owe Dr. Gatto a lot of respect for him taking the time that he did with me and pushing me in the areas that he pushed me. And I'm still thankful for his friendship today. Yeah. You know, he still pushes me. And so,
that's right.
You know, amen. Just because somebody's pushing you doesn't mean it's a bad thing.
That's
you
right.
know, a lot of times we will, if we identify something in somebody, and they're not taking it, they're not putting they're not putting the tire to the road or the pedal to the metal. And we get behind them and give them a little push, because sometimes they just don't know. And, you know, he did that for me.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I see that. I mean, and I think for, you know, Chris, for you and for Russ, like, I think what I could always see were all of these, like, the faithfulness, the availability, the intentionality, the teachability, the hunger, but also the humility. Like, I mean, it's just, you guys radiate that in the life of our church when you were not on staff. And that's, you guys are easy guys to take a chance on because of your humility and your love for the Lord and zero entitlement. And that's the kind of guys that I think that the Lord will use to advance his kingdom in planting churches, in staff roles, in whatever the Lord leads you to. And so thank y'all for just being a demonstration of faithful men in the life of our church. And and so, well, I hope this has been helpful. Thank you guys for listening to this, and we will see you next time.